on today's issue of Homo Superior.
Adam, would you get freaked out if you didn't have a baby yet and then you saw a vision of exactly what your baby looked like? Wouldn't that freak you out for later?
Yeah.
What do you mean for later?
Did you think I wouldn't?
Yeah, no,
I'm totally fine with that.
Hold on. Let him finish a thought.
Because you have to wait till later to make sure it looks like the baby. But sure enough.
Well, Brent is gay, and Kaylin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. It's Homo Superior.
Welcome to Homo Superior, where Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. Issue 323, I'm Kaylin.
I'm Clark.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Brent Wingate. This week, you've been waiting for this moment oh so long. We're finally done ramping up to X-Men 97. It's here. It's queer. And we're taking in the first two episodes. We're also deep into round two of Mutant Madness. And we're going to find out which of our lead mutants is sleeping with which other one.
Ooh.
Poorly worded sentence, huh? The rumor mill is working overtime to give us content for our news segment. Let's see if we can maintain a balanced perspective about stuff that's half lies. Plus, we've got receipts, issues, timelines, plugs, everything, late memes. But first, housekeeping. all right, we've already got an extra issue out that you need to check out. It's our review of Pride of the X-Men. It was the first X cartoon out there. It's hot garbage. You can watch it on the YouTube.
I wasn't on that podcast, so what's something that you were all proud of
it feels
from
like
that podcast?
Tepid garbage.
Yeah, like not the worst. It's not in an era where like there's like truly bad.
Yeah.
We enjoy it because it's so bad. It's like 75% of the way there.
The animation is good.
So gorgeous.
Animation is very nice.
Some wild voice acting and overall some fun moments, but it wasn't quite there yet.
He was asking what we're proud of ourselves.
Yeah, I was like, this really went off on us.
Nothing.
I will say that the YouTube clip or what you watch it on YouTube, there is a PSA from Spider-Man about voting.
Mm.
And he talks about the VSDA. And we did not know what
venereal disease sex authority.
Yes.
Nailed it.
VDSA.
Yeah. Clark's right.
No. It's like when you're spelling things in front of a dog and they can't tell, like, give them an SNACK?
What it is it was a video store like consortium, like a trade group.
Uh-huh.
And they were basically trying to get people to get, like, to have elected officials vote against something to protect video stores. Yeah. So, it was weird that Spider-Man was telling people in a kid's cartoon to go vote.
It was a referendum to kill all mutants.
Yeah.
Luckily, you got the word out, and it helped.
My favorite thing about the episode is that we satisfied the Kroll principle, which is where our review of the subject is longer than the subject itself.
So
you got to be slightly longer than the actual content at hand.
So go check that out. Coming up this Monday, Kaylin and I are going to be interviewing Marvel X-Men editor Jordan D. White.
To be ex-X-Men writer.
What's the D stand for? I can't wait.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
I'm excited to interview him. If you've got questions that you'd like to ask the person who is at the helm of the Krakoan era, send them to us on Twitter at Homo Superior X or Instagram at Homo Superior Podcast, or whisper them to a pigeon and have them fly to wherever we are.
And through my window, as Brent likes to say.
I don't think there's anything else we've got. No. Any other housekeeping?
I think we can go right into...
Our houses are kept.
Ooh, yeah, we've been dusting. Let's talk MCU Next TV, our weekly segment focused on the latest and greatest of the MCU Disney Plus TV shows. This week, it's finally here. You want it, so we've got it. X-Men 97 dropped two new episodes. First, we had season one, episode one, To Me, My X-Men. Cyclops races to find the source of the new anti-mutant technology while the Friends of Humanity hunt for the series' newest POV character, Roberto da Costa, a.k.a. Sunspot. Jean receives a premonition and a new leader takes over the Xavier School.
Did you say Roboto?
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Episode 2, Mutant Liberation begins when Magneto is forced by the UN to stand trial. A group of anti-mutant rioters test his resolve, including a famous 90s X-villain, ending in tragedy for one of the main cast. And then after having her baby, another surprising visitor shakes up Jean's life. So many visitors at this house.
Oh, my God.
But let's get into it. Marvel Animation opening. Pretty fun. New for us.
Yeah.
That's cute. There's mostly stuff from What If, because they don't have a lot of animation properties. But then we get to the real opening, the full recreation of the 92 with some new animations, some returning introduction.
Are you just obsessed with the fact that you can actually see what's happening in that
opening?
Oh,
my God. finally clean lines.
I have no idea what was going on ever.
They're too clean for me. But
as I learn now, it's nuclear explosions behind it.
When we were watching it, they had to tone down Cyclops' imagery and a few other ones because it would give seizures. That's why it goes from light to dark quite a bit when we're watching it.
Wow, okay. Here.
That's great.
Not anymore.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Now you get seizures. They want you to get seizures.
And that's a guarantee.
Oh, I thought it was reversed.
No. That's what used
what
to be.
What weird marketing they're doing.
Yeah, right.
I was always like, why is Cyclops so dark?
So in episode one, we've got lots of, in the openings, I just want to, we have to go into this opening. I mean, it's been fucking 30 years worth
of
over analysis. So we've got hair is a flowing, jeans is just wherever it wants to go. We've got Storm and her mohawk. You've got Morph's new one. You've got Bishop's new opening. And you even have Magneto getting slotted in episode two. What did you guys think of the new openings?
Very great use of nostalgia. I lost my goddamn mind for the second episode when Magneto was included. I was like, oh, this is so good. It's so, please keep this going for subsequent episodes.
There's like, by season five, there's like 500 people being introduced at the beginning.
It's the whole episode, basically.
Roberto's going to show up in like episode six. He's part of it now.
They're like, it'll take a breath, like, da 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 na na. Half the episode.
Yeah, we also get added contextual scenes seemingly per episode. So in episode one, we start with Morph versus Sinister. And then by episode two, we're adding in Storm and the Morlocks and her beating Callisto, the Dark Phoenix saga. Esque kind of head nod, Bishop's time travel, as well as Magneto's asteroid M. I loved these scenes, honestly.
Great.
I hope they keep
good little
them.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
I think Sinister's going to be in this show. Would you say?
Yeah.
They really
going
alluded hard
through this, and it shows here is that I think the art is beautiful when it's against a darker background. As soon as it gets a really light background, you can see the smooth the dark lines so much around each character that just doesn't work for me.
Oh, see, I actually enjoy. I feel like it has a stylized look, and I think I'm very. It feels like a very high, like almost like movie theater quality anime, where that happens a lot as well. Where it's like instead of more of the smoothed anime,
too much
smooth over, it has the added lines. I don't know. I love it. What do you all think about
everyone's
the art style?
Colors are too. Not there's no shading to the point where it doesn't work for me with the lines in the back.
I think that it was done deliberately to like evoke that 90s look. Like they know that they could have made it much more modern looking or have a higher quality of animation, but I think they were looking to do something that's like, hey, this is very much just a follow-up from the 90s cartoon. We have to make it look this way, but better.
To me, it felt like they were trying to replicate the feeling of the video games, especially with a kind of color contrast, and then also the character movements all felt a little bit like they were in a kind of waving pace to show this person's still alive. They're not just a set of pixels on a wall.
Well, it is a 3D animated show, which is also, and I know like the Dragon Prince and a few others.
When they
like,
first zoom in and you can see the water and it's super 3D, like when they go into New York
like,
the first time.
I think
I did not like that at all.
I assume there's like, I think that, I mean, because it's also frames per second, much more than even like normal animation, so that they could probably speed some of it up. So I feel like it's a lot of deliberate choices. I think it paid off.
My favorite part is when they're animating and none of their hair moves except just a couple hairs. Just a couple.
But that's also what happens
Storm's
in real life,
like,
right?
Blast and wind everywhere, and it's like just like
was this
bang
before we banned the hydrofluorocarbons that are in spray cans.
Oh yeah, this is Aquanet. 90s Aquanet.
So then we get to our matchups. There's a lot of flipping on the villain side. So Jugs is still around, but now we tagged in Emma. Lots of women more than anything else. So Emma Frost joins. Deathstrike, Mystique, Pyro, Sabretooth, and Avalanche are still there.
Thank God fucking Pink Egg.
No,
man,
I was
going to
say
there.
We got rid of the Gremlin. I like that little guy.
That fucking weirdo never even showed up on the goddamn
show.
Or
Thunderbird, for that
matter. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they both showed up in the Genosian Slave Island episode.
So it's so funny. You know, we talked about Pride of the X-Men. We reviewed that where Magneto had his Brotherhood of Mutant Terrorists, as they called it, not evil mutants. When I first saw this show back in the 90s, I thought this was going to be his Brotherhood, and that never really showed up. It just was like, all. I was like, I remember being kind of disappointed as a kid. I was like, I want to see these all team
Who
up.
Who are all these characters? Right. What is this? Well, it gives me good hope, though, that these characters will obviously show up more seriously, I assume, in the coming seasons, because that would be kind of a mind fuck if they were like, no, we're still not featuring most of these
the
people.
The only time we saw Sabretooth was Morph pretending to be Sabretooth.
Yeah, and maybe Mystique's Brotherhood will be like more prevalent.
Oh, yeah, that'll
series.
Be fun. Yeah. I just loved reading down the matchups because they were very weirdly, besides Sabretooth and Wolverine, it was Juggernaut versus Jean Grey.
Fair.
Jubilee versus Pyro. Mm-hmm. Storm versus Emma, could kind of see that. Gambit versus Deathstrike. Rogue versus Mystique also works. And then Cyclops versus Avalanche is the funniest thing to me, where it's like, fuck you.
Fight him. Adam, do you think anytime someone is facing the other person, they're about to fight?
Yeah. That's how
you
Adam.
You tell me.
Adam, we're about to fight.
That's how Adam views the world. It's in mutant madness terms.
it's too straight, yeah.
Do you think they were running into each other to play chess?
Kissing.
They were going to little baby kisses, yeah.
All right, let's start the actual episode. So we start with a Callisto and Leech cameo. There's a newscast that Xavier's death is by Gyrick. We also get Sunspot's introduction.
Wait, no. Before we got to even that, the very opening shot of the city itself.
Yeah, and that water.
There were some cute little Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah, we'll speak on it, says.
We got, this one wasn't as fun, but DaCosta had like a whole advertising panel in the New York Times section. The one I liked the most, though, was that there was Stark Industries as one of the.
They're doing a lot to do because there's the newspaper that kind of comes out of the explosion Spider-Man, of the building has Spider-Man. So love that they're already connecting the world far better than they did in 92.
The possibility of getting real cameos. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Just you wait.
I can taste it.
Mm-hmm. Ooey gooey.
Any other Easter eggs?
No, there was actually garbage.
What? There's actual.
You were like, there were so many Easter eggs.
I'm the only one who watched it twice, apparently.
Oh, wow.
I watched it like 3 times. I do like the fact that Callisto's just dragging Leech from behind.
The They're very prominently featured in these first two episodes.
Grabs him by his throat and says, we're going.
He's rich, he's annoying, and he hates himself, which means he's probably gay. Sunspot is here. He's been arrested by the, you know.
Friends of Humanity.
Exactly. And
the foes.
He kind of acts a lot like a log cabin piece of shit because he's just like, I'm not like the other mutants. Like, I'm a good one that has money.
Oh, yeah. He's trust fund baby. That's the reason why. Yeah.
See, I saw it as he's just making a bunch of excuses. I didn't think he actually believed all those things.
I don't know.
Also, I didn't think he was annoying at all. I was surprised. I thought he was going to be so fucking annoying.
I just like I.
But there's the kind of like, oh, you come out of the closet. You're like gay, but you want to defend. Like, I'm not a scene gay. I'm not one of those gays.
Yeah, like
I
you
still
did.
Say that.
Why are you attacking my like past?
It's yeah. I'm not.
I was just joking. Were you really like that?
Oh, everyone was.
We all were.
That's fair. I remember seeing Voguing for the first time at Town in D.C. and being like, I was like,
what's wrong with the wrists?
Well, I was sort of just like, what's going on?
Why are they walking like a duck?
So yes, we all do learn to love and change.
I actually like
that was the story this whole time, Brent.
So you're innocent now. Fuck you.
I don't know if you saw, but the hip skate party where this was going on actually spelled hate party when the lights were on.
Oh, my God, did it?
If only that meant something. But honestly, Adam, he was born this way. I love that he said that. That was so outrageous. I love that stupid yuppie.
Well, our everyone's fucking favorite, at least mine, Storm Mistress of the Element shows up, and one guy says, I ain't afraid of you, you witch. And she said, then you are a fool.
I mean, Cyclops shows up first, and more importantly...
No, Storm literally arrives first.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. Storm and
she
Bishop
shows up for
this.
Like,
did I watch this three times?
She shows up for a minute
only?
And gets beaten down. And then
Storm, then Bishop, then Cyclops.
And both of them get knocked out quickly. And
Gambit,
then it's all
Gambit
Cyclops.
Was busy.
Yes, because it's the X.
Solitary.
I'm making food.
It's the X-Men versus the Friends of Humanity Mega Men because they all just carry around those little arms.
That was the reference I was thinking about. Oh, my God.
That makes them insanely powerful. Yes, Clark is right. Bishop and Storm are having a little bit of a tougher time. And motherfucking Cyclops and his new voice actor are just roller skating, blasting knees using that kinetic eye beam.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I'm worried about his joints. The way he's going around, like
he just throws Roberto around too.
It's
he's grabbing him from the neck and throwing him everywhere.
He's a known strategist. That's like part of his like powers in a weird way. And so it was a cool way to see powers be used like this. And
oh,
then we
yeah.
see another
think,
use of it
oh,
later.
No,
is this like phenomenal?
In, is this comic based uses? This is or was like,
oh, yeah.
A, okay.
Yeah.
No. I just have never seen him like
but
black,
also,
backslide
I thought,
by two.
I thought
two.
It was in the video games as well that he like would use his powers to like move.
He would like,
like
he
dodge,
would usually
dodge
aim at the yeah. I'm trying to remember from Marvel vs. Capcom how much he actually did.
But I mean, that's how he and Alex survived the plane crash. Like when they
oh,
were kids,
like
it was his like eye blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he grabbed Roberto and then just sort of went like to get out of the way.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I don't. Can I get a little Neil deGrasse Tyson for just a second? Because if he's able to push himself away and like dodge out of stuff like. How is it that when he's like shooting his optic blast as hard as possible, it isn't snapping his neck backward?
He works out.
Oh, okay.
It's the X gene.
Oh. Oh, well, never mind.
And, you know, we get the classic line, no, don't. I surrender.
Not.
I mean, it is the 90s.
He goes, psych.
Lops.
I mean, it's part of what I loved about the show is that they were able to bring in those pieces of like stuff from the old days, much like the Daily Bugle. We kind of talked about Dust, Banshee, Nature Girl during our like previews kind of stuff, but I think it's so much fun to just say that that's here. Talk about a mutant fashion show, a Hellfire Gala, Spider-Man. We get back to the mansion. Gambit is making beignets, and
in
I am hot.
Yeah, you've been
you know what?
You've been gay.
Put powdered sugar on me and dip me in a cafe au lait because he looked fucking good.
Let's
with
talk about
little,
this crop top.
The they, crop top.
They did
mama.
Not have to do all that. They did not have to
disagree.
Turn me on to Gambit in this way.
Disagree.
I don't. I'm like, he is a great character. I've always loved Gambit.
It, like they're like, we're gonna flesh him out, and by that we mean show more of his flesh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They really go hard on
they
his
do,
his like
girl.
Sexual appeal.
Oh my god, yes.
Rogue's sex dress also makes a reappearance. Her neckline is fixed. Her voice actress has not changed. Mrs. Lenore Zahn is in the motherfucking building. Just
she
being
is.
Her.
It means you get
her.
To howling like a lonely kettle on a fiery stove.
Nailed it.
We've got Gambit and Cyclops being bitches to each other. What's the best tasting exploding thing Gambit would ever make for you?
Creme brulee. I think that'd be
oh,
fun.
That's a fun
oh,
one. The dish explodes in your eyes.
Popcorn.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Ooh that's good.
It could be an étouffée.
Oh.
He
okay.
just throws a full flambé at people.
All right. So can I get a little Martha Stewart right now?
Okay. Neil deGrasse Tyson and Martha Stewart.
Yeah, you're the real morph of this podcast.
Did you see the plates that they were setting out? Each plate had like 8 beignets per person.
And they were like eating around the island. Yeah. There's going to be 5 people just standing up eating beignets.
There are 40 to 50 beignets there.
You prepare a lot of food.
It's also hard
to
yeah. fry all those up at the same time.
Yeah, sure. I totally understand. He was using like a small fryer. Makes sense. It takes a while. That's why he couldn't be at the fight.
Yes.
But why is every individual eating 60 beignets?
Have you had a beignet? I would eat 60 beignets.
It's one beignet for everyone of Morph's personality, and it's 60 beignets for a Preggers gene, who both enter stage right. Morph still has his laugh. Ryan, how do you feel about your laugh being stolen?
Do you like that kind of representation?
Yes,
it's
I do.
It's just so great.
He doesn't have his eye
bags
anymore.
I know. He's in a better place. You can really tell, actually.
There
and he's got control.
Place.
No, I
Adam, speaking of representation, how do you like seeing a bald cunt on TV?
Oh, my God.
This is why it's so important to see yourself on television.
Representation, baby.
Hey, guys, I'm your dead friend and mine.
So I don't think Cyclops is being a bitch at all. He was entirely right. Gambit and Rogue have just kind of given up on helping people.
Oh, yeah, it's a great plotline.
It's
bizarre. It's amazing how
they're
lazy
like, we don't
want to
help this child. Fuck you. And I'm like, good Lord.
This well, we're busy.
And we'll find out Wolverine also doesn't give a shit. I'm like, these people are fucked up.
I swear to God, these episodes are basically telling all the Cyclops haters, shut the fuck up.
Really
he's kind of amazing, you pieces of
these
shit.
These are both written by Beau DeMeo, and so I can only imagine that if we ever got to interview, be like, you must be one of the biggest fucking Cyclops fans on the planet, which I love.
I love that, too. It's like, he got a bad rap for so long from the 90s cartoon as well as the 20th Century Fox movies.
Well, if we like
fun.
Wolverine, we have to hate Cyclops.
Yeah.
he doesn't like fun, and we know that, but he's kind of fun about it, you know?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does.
It's because they're almost playing more off of his like later militant persona, which I appreciate, rather than like the grade A student Boy Scout.
Yep.
You got Roberto waking up with Beast. Nam to shut the fuck up. I don't like Beast. Yeah. Jubilee's
here. I'm just
here.
Listening to some music.
And singing along like he's never heard it before.
I know.
Jubilee's here. She's a bigot. She calls Beast a blue monkey. What an asshole.
Jesus.
No. She's got a point.
Everyone's getting all their exposition. Roberto just wants to leave. Jubilee tries to take down some classist a-holes. Because I just not a big fan of Roberto in this. I got to be honest. Danger room time. We got the first look at Digital Magneto. He's got some serious nude lip going on. He just looks a lot more like androgynous. Like, I love his face. I don't know. I thought they did a good job.
They're like, give him extra lipstick.
Yeah.
I think he's dyeing his hair now too. Like fully. I'm sure he
fully
like was
silver.
Yeah, because he was like that's a good point. He did like what Tilda Swinton did. I feel like he just got the same hair.
Oh, instead of a touch of gray, it was a lot of gray.
Yeah,
a lot of white.
Like bleach
a touch
blonde.
Of, yeah.
Yeah.
We get our introduction to Wolverine, who scares away Roberto.
He tries to kill a child or something.
What? And this is the very first introduction of Wolverine, which is shocking that they don't blow him out like immediately.
Well,
it's really showing
I love
that
the
they're not relying on him.
Right. Well, I love the parallel that they had to the first episode of animated series where like Jubilee is running around the danger room. Like it's all the beats that I want to see, but evolved for, you know, it's kind of like all the nostalgia reboots that we're getting for like movies nowadays.
Do you like that Jubilee and Wolverine both saw DaCosta leave? And then they said nothing to anyone, and then they went and played basketball.
Yeah. And then they fought on the basketball court after the fact. That was like one of the biggest things that was so confusing
so
to
wild.
Me. Like they were literally playing, and then all of a sudden it got revealed. All
right, time to play a game of pickup.
Did they not want to animate that? Him leaving? Like, why didn't they just show that?
I do like Cyclops is like, oh, well, you guys are having a fun time. Well, we're leaving.
We'll see you later. We do get the OG 5 photo. There's still no explanation of why no one remembers or cares.
That
about
is continuity. Why
Archangel was a part of the team, but
I hope
he wasn't
they figure it
the
out or
half.
Something.
They really lingered on it. It makes me think that there's going to be some sort of call to arms of like the original team getting back together because they really didn't have to focus on it as many times as they did. So
yeah.
I feel like something's happening there. You know?
Yeah,
we get our introduction to Val Cooper. She's talking about Chekhov's Trask master mold that's still possibly out there.
Total camp choice to have her run on a treadmill.
Oh my god!
That is what she does in X Factor too, though.
Still great, comic accurate. Great choice for TV.
Why was this anime woman dressed as Demanda Martini? Is what I remember.
It is so. It was fascinating after Demanda had posted her most recent photo, of like when she was doing Val Cooper. Like I couldn't get it out of my mind.
Look her up, Demanda Martini. She does great drag cosplay. It's phenomenal. It's just so good. I really enjoy her inclusion into this series.
Oh,
like,
it's a really good ad. Perfect. From a human perspective. Jean and Cyclops make fun of Xavier's voice. How often do you all lean into a loved one's body as you talk to them? Because
way too much.
The amount of times that this happens. I'm doing it right now to you.
And then I mentally zoom in on your face really close, too.
Wait, are you all about to start fighting or kissing? That's what I want to know.
We're facing each other.
Play chess. Oh, yeah. So talking about them totally, like to your point, Clark, fucking Rogue and Gambit. We didn't do a dang thing. And then Cyclops just going, took the words right out of my mouth.
Ooh,
what a fucking bitch.
I felt
it's
that.
Right. It's God. Fucking right.
I was like,
I gasped.
As someone who's disappointed people. That, oh man, that hit. Like, oh fuck, I should have done more, huh?
Well, Wolverine reads for therapy because he told Cyclops the worst thing to happen to Xavier's dream was you.
Why?
You helping mutants
really
is terrible.
So can we talk about something real quick?
Because
I feel like the nature of tension in the older series, like TV shows just did not develop it as well. And I don't feel like going through it, like the fight between Scott and Logan really felt like anything. For like in the first two scenes, I'm obsessed with their rivalry. Like they are not holding back.
Yeah.
This is two real housewives going at each other. Like, you're worse than Wolverine. Yeah, well, our best friend died, and you're the worst part about that.
Yeah.
So
and they also lean. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
They also lean into Wolverine being mad at Jean later, which you never really see. She's about to explode with the baby.
He thinks it's Apocalypse, but no, it's actually Cable.
No, I know, sort of giving a shortness to it.
So here's my one note. I actually kind of had hoped that they would have evolved Wolverine and Cyclops' relationship a little bit more to be like begrudging friends or at least respectful allies. Like just doing the kind of the shtick of them like going at each other. It's been done. I think it would have been a nice like progression of the characters.
But I don't think it's just back to form, old school.
It is different to your point. I agree with that. I'm just saying this is what I would have liked to have seen.
I feel like Wolverine is hurt because he knows they're leaving and they're not saying
An emotional
and
impact.
I like that tension more than just generic.
Fair. That's fair.
Because we do.
What, you're leaving? After anything is like.
Well, just go.
She's like, I'm going to just. He's like, you're leaving? And she's like, I'm going to the bathroom.
To get cigarettes or something?
Well, yeah. So everybody heads to the clubs because they're going to go try to find Roberto. Rogue's out there to fuck. Gambit's got gloves. I just forgot. I saw his gloves again. I was like, wait a minute. Why he's got those weird finger ones sticking out?
Semi-fingered gloves.
Yeah. Well, since you could charge the card.
You know
why. You know why.
Because a rogue. Some of them are covered in some.
He's got the shocker.
With the start of this this specific scene, the dance scene, there's a song that's playing, like this disco remix mix song that's like weird. But the only lyrics that we hear is, I can't get close to you. if you hear that first and then you watch all the interactions, they really can't get close to each other.
That's clever.
But isn't that it was from Dazzler's hit album?
Yeah, I can't
close to you.
Get close to you.
I didn't realize the X-Men was turning into a TLC reality show.
Damsey Kane wrote that. Is that right?
So Morph and Wolverine are just gay best friends in a club for straight people because they are just having the bitchiest conversation.
That was one of my favorite
about
scenes.
About Jean and Scott.
And for him to transform into more, or into Jean,
pregnant, and just pretend to be more pregnant. Yeah, I'm Jean Grey, humble telepathic extraordinaire. I'm married to the most boring man on earth. Watch, it must be so great watching our perfection every day.
what a cunt!
Love the new Morph.
He is queer culture.
All right,
yes.
He's queer, y'all.
Morph,
he is.
Morph does make me laugh.
Yeah,
his swish. Oh, their swish? Like, I love Morph.
Yeah.
Morph
so
is
good.
So
MVP
good.
Already
And
the
Roberto
show.
And Jubilee have a lot of fucking flirting, so I'm very pro those.
I mean, Jubilee, fun at a rave.
I know, that was the first time I've actually liked her.
Yeah, I kind of like that she is a defender of the school a little bit, but also she's not annoying the fuck out of me constantly.
Yeah, she wants
she's
to
grown up. She's grown up.
Is it okay to use your fireworks powers?
But she's like 15 years old. How is she... How old is she in the continuity of this show?
I'd say 16.
That feels right.
She's also one of the characters to have a voice actor change. So Allison Court did the original Jubilee voice, but she wanted to make sure that a Chinese American would reprise the role or take over the role. And so we have Holly Cho, and I think she's doing a great job as the Jubilee. I think it fits
and who did Beast let take over for his voice?
That's still George Buza, who we love, but maybe just Beast is not the character for me, I guess. So then we get and jump to the Gyrick interrogation. First of all, Ryan, one of your favorite outfits made the cut. There's a blazer over Storm's holiday outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the orange and green one?
Yeah, with a little green daggers. Gyrick is such a fucking creep. I think they really got him really great. 25 years for killing somebody. Isn't that kind of not that much?
They don't count as much.
Oof.
That seems tough. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, possibly you could also get that it was like, no, there's no way. It's premeditated. He had a fucking gun.
He is
a loaded gun.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell a gay man wrote this show because one of the quotes is tolerance is extinction, which I actually thought was really cool. Yeah. And then you get an A for effort, but you're not Charles Xavier. And I was like, what a fucking... Everyone on the show is a cunt to just reading each other for film.
Also, how is Cyclops deputized to make a deal from going from 25 to 10, 10 years? In what legal system is this?
Well...
Guantanamo Bay.
I did really like Gyrich's line that, you mutants sure are making a lot of high-powered friends.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's a very interesting reway of stating the new status quo, not just more peace between humans and mutants, but also more politically connected mutants.
Yeah, maybe no. That was a great line.
That maybe that, like, there's some political connection that means that Cyclops could pull a lever.
Val Cooper is like government liaison.
Yeah,
that's comics,
that being
so
said, that's absolutely crazy.
That he can make the deal. Yeah.
I'm here.
If you get some information that you could have gotten through.
Like, if Val Cooper had made that line, I would have been like, fine.
She's been in the room.
But also, she's with the UN, so none of this makes sense. Yeah. So
it's a kid's show. Jean Grey is in. Have you met Scott's wife? She's getting visions. We see Red Triangle. She has a baby. No baby. There's the baby again. Who's that person in the sand?
Adam, would you get freaked out if you didn't have a baby yet and then you saw a vision of exactly what your baby looked like? Wouldn't that freak you out for later?
Yeah.
What do you mean for later?
Did you think I wouldn't?
Yeah, no,
I'm totally fine with that.
Hold on. Let him finish a thought.
Because you have to wait till later to make sure it looks like the baby. But sure enough.
That freaks me out. Because all the times I'm seeing a baby in my dreams and it's not my future baby.
You know how many babies I've had to discover? They're never the baby from my dreams.
Yeah.
You'll find the baby of your dreams.
No idea who that dust person is. Same. Also, did you think that I didn't think of the red triangle as being like the savior training, but
no, it was more, I think, Master Mold's eyes. But I thought originally it was maybe going to be a Sinister reference.
Sinister the diamond.
Yeah. There's some level of consternation that, like, and obviously we'll see that, you know, we know Jean or somebody shows up at the door at the end of the second episode, and this was supposed to be potentially like the moment that she activates, kind of idea.
Yeah.
All right, we've got everybody on the mission to stop Trask. This again, stupid stuff from the original. Let's mail Trask back to the UN in little pieces. And it's like, okay, enough of this little piece of shit. But then the fence is like, we're not going to dismember him. Dismembering? No, weight loss.
That was good. That was good. Weight loss was big in the
90s. I do love that we're going to constantly
fat free
couch everything.
Do you like as a plan? Let's fly over dangerous territory and almost burn to death in the sky.
Yeah, why not?
My favorite part is this system doesn't capture that there's a giant fucking sentinel flying right behind them.
Oh, they knew it was coming.
They were like, we're ready. Because they had a sky.
Just throw themselves out of
although
window.
I guess, yeah, that is a good point.
They seem so surprised when it happens.
It doesn't matter that the sentinel knows that they know a sentinel's coming.
Yes. It's not on the sentinel.
We get a sky sequence of cool as fuck abilities. We see Morph really using his actual physical transformation powers.
Love that.
That shocked me to
Archangel?
My core.
Archangel. Yeah.
The fact that he can just seamlessly do that now. Woo!
Oh, the animation looks really good.
So many good cameo
changes.
Cool. We've also, like, we talked about Cyclops' abilities. Trask just seemingly was hanging out on his own in the middle of the desert with a bunch of robots. And he was also the nicer one in 92, wasn't he? I felt
they got meaner.
Yeah, over time. We get the fight sequence. You've got Rogue and Beast using wrestling moves. Beast taking over a sentinel body. Power team ups between Gambit and Bishop. And then give him the forecast. Mm-hmm. Omega level threat detected.
I lost my mind.
What
when
the
I heard
call
that.
Out? Woo! Of being Omega, amazing.
Yeah, that was so good.
Also, we got a call out. He said, instead of evolution, he said evolution.
Yeah, wasn't that also in the animated series?
It was.
Yeah, somebody said
evolution. Baby.
Yeah.
Some people get it right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I do love the play on Cyclops. So, you know, he talks, Gyric, Trask gets fucked up. Humanity's obsolete. No idea how it feels to be left behind by the future. Do you think Cyclops wants his baby? He seems to really want to stick around with the X-Men this whole time.
He's the guy that's like, I want to grow up. You know, I want to do this, but I can't leave my boys behind.
But it's
I can't
his
leave
job
my friends behind.
Too, so I'm sure he's like committed
to
his
too.
Job.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's his found family. It's his job. It's all of the above, right? Yeah.
Being there to start it also, you know, you're a founding member.
Especially in Charles Xavier being gone, so
he's also seen that most of them don't give a shit.
They have all gotten so fucking lazy after their leader died or went off to Mars.
Except for Storm.
Except for Storm, and then Bishop's there kind of
doing things.
I don't
think Gambit's
things.
Gotten lazy if you've seen that crop top. She's still hitting the gym.
Yeah, so we've got
What about Gambit's other power?
There we go.
Was he saying
lines.
He wants to fuck someone?
I didn't know.
We've got also, yeah, there's a big basketball game. We got Jubilee and Roberto making up, and, you know, he doesn't want to be himself. Great. Magneto's here. We saw that in the trailer. So let's jump in to the new conversation, which is the second episode.
Coney, I just want to say I do like the Kirby crackle that Sunspot does.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ooh,
very
yeah.
cool.
Well, and the other thing I'll call out is that I've never seen a Last Will and Testament, but I'm sure it's not a fucking encyclopedia. That book is
it was
tremendous.
Bound. It was bound, and it had a cover jacket.
Yeah.
There's no one to read it to them either. There's no executor of the estate.
Yeah, maybe that's why it took so long for Magneto to show up.
Magneto became notarized.
Yeah.
Or he's a notary public. Yes.
So we start with the Coney Island Ferris wheel disaster. Magneto saves the day. He's in his new fucking sexy costume, even though it's from the 80s. He seems to always have a lot of heavy eyeliner on. Mm-hmm. Back at the mansion, Cyclops is pissed and confused. And Jean just wants to leave that goddamn mansion. She's like, we gotta go. We yeah. have a baby.
It is dangerous to be there. So I get it. Like, I'm not against what she's thinking, but
Do
you think they're going to make the danger room into the baby's room?
Is it safer to be away from all the mutants who can protect you? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the risk calculation is.
Question of this whole
because
series.
Literally,
but the mansion gets attacked all the time.
The mansion gets attacked all the time. But also, the opening scene was random mutants being rounded up to be executed.
It's a great point. Speaking of random mutants being rounded up, that happens in this episode.
Yeah,
but what is the safer option for her and this child? It's like it is a question that
we'll
makes sense.
We'll get into her motivation a little bit later on. I think
I was right. Sure. She really did want to get off the.
I hope it's her.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got Val Cooper being pissed. We've got the Friends of Humanity charging up a super gun, attacking the Morlocks. Magneto is like, let's just fuck shit up. Did you want this scene to be darker? Because I did. Crush that woman's arm with that Mega Man.
I hated that woman. Sorry. I always support all women except her.
That blonde
ass
Karen piece of shit.
I love the use of powers. Definitely felt the danger of Magneto. Like, this whole episode and how actually dangerous Magneto is, I thought was super highlighted.
Well
done. And I just love how close he comes to the line of, like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to crush your skull. But, my dear friend Charles.
My dead lover.
My dead lover.
Look, my gay dead son.
Picture.
My good friend.
It's very, there's a new boss in town energy. Like, I don't know why we didn't do this before. I'm just going to do it. The Morlocks are going to go to
love sending that to Joseph. What
I think this is bullshit.
Okay.
How fucking dare you? Bitch, you had the last will and testament. You had all the assets. It's not like Cyclops could have, like, accessed his Bank of America account and then sent all the Morlocks to Genosha.
Okay. It is fair, but they also were speaking badly of the Morlocks. They were like, what are those gutter dumbs doing? So, like, the fact that he was trying to help them, I think, says...
them at Christmas.
It again,
with their stupid fucking tree.
So fascinating to me because this entire, like, ex-table conversation at the mansion just... All of it just seems like everyone's upset with everybody about everything all the time. So you got Beast randomly just fucking quoting Mark Twain. You got Lenore.
Whenever someone does that, you know they're furious.
This made sense this time.
You got Rogue, Pat so dirty they don't squeak no matter how much spit you got.
She's talking about sex, right?
Right? Yeah. Gambit's already jealous because he's not having sex. Cyclops is being gross. Use Jean's powers to assess fucking his truthfulness, and then Jean's like, no, bitch, I'm not going to use my powers. Honesty is another matter.
Kind of fair.
No.
Because I think that Cyclops could say, hey, Magneto, you have to, like, in order to lead us, like, I would be more trusting of you if you voluntarily allowed Jean
to. Yeah, but, like, honesty is the easiest thing to fake out, I feel like, of just, like, I want to do it.
It's also the best policy.
I don't know. I feel like.
I thought they wrote it away good.
Telepaths are. I mean, I understand her counterpoint, but I do think it's better than nothing.
Yeah, he's been trying to murder them for decades.
It's not like a polygraph test, like where it's very unreliable.
But at this moment, at this time, at this thing, at this thing.
But at least Cyclops was acting erratic, like crazy. So we check every minute of every day.
That was a little crazy. She did.
That was too much.
She did go overboard in my
sheer
Cyclops, yes.
Girl.
Storm and Jean, Kiki in the bedroom. Jean's worried about the future of her mutie kid.
Jesus.
Okay, don't say that slur on this podcast.
Storm is like, you sound like a stupid bitch. I mean, mother.
You know what you are? Stupid bitch.
You're
Storm,
a mother.
Yeah, when Storm
you're
said,
acting like a bitch.
I bet you want your kid to be a dirty flat scan.
I did. One thing that I did appreciate about this scene, and particularly I think some of the dialogue that Gene and Storm had, is that it, at least to me, kind of felt a little bit like the talk that I think black parents obviously have to have with their kids. And I know, you know, I obviously haven't experienced that myself, but I just felt like, I was like, oh, I think I'm seeing that kind of parallel in terms of you don't want to raise a child having to have to do that. That's insane.
I also really like that, like, they leaned into the fact that Gene and Aurora are friends. Like, yeah. you didn't see that very much.
They're sisters.
They didn't really do that very much in the actual 90s show, and, like, this is such a big part of their relationship in the comics.
And with everyone fighting about relationships, it's nice to see this as being, like,
something friendly. Yeah,
it's also the queer question of if you could, like, take a pill or whatever and not be gay, would you? And I do like that at least they show that conversation happening with a character.
Yeah. Before, obviously,
wildly foreshadowing.
Well, there's also majorly foreshadowing when Magneto's like, Storm, you're the greatest goddess I've ever seen. You are truly a pantheon.
You're incredible. You can do no wrong.
If only there was something better than Omega, you're like the best.
Rogue and Magneto get a little touchy-touchy, and someone gets dragged in like a kitty cat's prize.
Oh, my God. So we got to call this scene cat.
This is the cat run of quotes, right? Yes, it's the cat run.
Ryan, why don't you go through the cat quotes?
Okay, thank you so much. So, first of all, your little pep talk was as smooth as a dozen cats in a yarn store.
Okay, what? Let's work backwards.
Cats what?
Why is that, like, smooth?
Yeah, well, no, it's because it's hairy.
Not smooth.
It's a hairy situation.
Right, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, no, specifically hairy. You're going back from the word hairy, like...
No, it was more. Say it again.
Yeah,
your little pep talk was as smooth as a dozen cats in a yard.
It would be crazy because there would be a dozen cats playing with a bunch of yarn.
Sorry. So what?
Pretty covered in hair.
So what you mean linguistically?
Where does the hair come from?
Like hairy, as in a hairy situation.
Okay.
Or hairy, as in like hairy cats, hairy yarn.
Yeah.
I feel like that's much more reasonable than crazy yarn, crazy cats.
I don't know if it's smooth, but I think
I think she's not that smart to make some sort of one.
This wordplay thing is wild to me.
Here's what I think happened. I think they're like, this is like a messy situation. We got to figure out a way to relate it. Then they went through a whole series of like the synonyms.
Oh, like a spinner wheel?
Like synonyms. And then they're like, we got to come. We're backwards coming up with a Southern expression for this.
She's a little off in this one. And it's maybe because there is a flirty energy. So maybe like she's stumbling a little bit.
She's a little wet from Magneto.
Fuck somebody.
And then the next one, you wouldn't be able to get dragged in like kitty cat's prize.
But here you are getting dragged in like a kitty cat's prize.
Yeah. That one makes sense to me. That's like when like cats kill birds. They bring in birds in into the house.
Rogue, you got to get more than cat comparison.
She's like all cat.
Long tailed cat.
And then she's like, let me close
this. This is why Kitty Pride's not in the show. Shadow Cat, she'd just be making
Can
puns
you
about
imagine
her.
Imagine if they introduce her.
People are like, well, they love the fact that she had it's like a long tailed cat in a rocking chair.
It's really wild.
Storm, you're looking so hot. Your pussy's off.
But she does like to finish it up with, that was a long time ago, Eric. And that cat's got to stay in the bag.
So that's like a real sexual innuendo.
And I was like, so you want
to see my bio?
Cat's out of the bag?
That cat's got to stay in the bag.
Yeah.
Cat's out of the bag?
I
know it's a thing, but
okay,
I'm like,
but it's also, she's like,
women's privates may also be called cats.
Or a condom. Or a condom could be the bag.
The bag? Wait.
Maybe it's
a great conversation.
I guess there's female condoms, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I would just like to say, electricity.
Let's get out of the danger.
So they're able to touch a little bit. And this is inherently because electricity and magnetism are intimately.
That's right.
I have an explanation. Because
tell me, baby.
In Age of Apocalypse in the comics, they were married, and the reason why is because Magneto was able to like cover himself in like this electromagnetic force field, so they could actually quote unquote touch.
I mean, how does he spunk?
That's
in
a
her
cat's
then?
Bag if I ever heard one.
I don't know.
It like opens up a little bit.
He was basically able to put on what are called cat's pajamas.
But can his semen touch her?
Yes.
I think it was in vitro.
But it just to confirm, so this only happened in Age of Apocalypse. I immediately thought, so I was like, oh,
they,
shit, this is happening.
They
again.
Were full on romance in Age of Apocalypse, yeah, right. But they had a flirtation in like the normal 616.
But the
like,
power stuff
multiple
would,
times.
The idea yeah. of why they could do it was that, always the same.
Yes, okay. yes.
And that eventually turned into a real thing.
And then also with this is kind of like the let's backfill information because none of this ever occurred or was talked about on 92,
no.
right? I'm not crazy.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think they're trying to create a.
I was like, ooh,
this bizarre yeah. love triangle.
Out of nowhere, but I liked it.
I know so many people hate this coupling.
Why? Yeah. I love it.
In the comics and stuff.
I think
they
it's great.
They just despise it, and I fucking love it.
It's I a feel good like this
maybe it's because I can't stand Gambit, usually.
Oh, I think that some people are also upset about the age difference. Mm. But
I feel like if, you know, this relationship might not have worked, but it's
times.
Got nine lives for me, baby.
Oh, there it is. All right, Val Cooper shows up to take Magneto. They show up in a bunch of fucking helicopters that are metallic. Fucking idiots.
Oh, idiots.
What are you going to do? Our metal guns aren't working. And you're like, okay.
But luckily, he decides to go with them, and we get to trial day. Cooper reads Magneto for filth. Which seems like there would have been a bigger turnout for a giant mutant terrorist. There was like 20 people outside of
well,
it was the UN.
Yeah, no one knows what it is. The thing about that was I got January 6th vibes.
Ooh,
yeah, where were
yes.
you on the insurrection of X-Men 97?
Jesus
Christ. The insurrection of Magneto.
I think they even call it that at some... They, not insurrection. It's, they say something that like,
it's
is
100%.
Like very tied
that's
to that.
Exactly what they were like. I mean, Bodomeo did that. He wanted to be political.
I get it, but also, wouldn't it be validly angry that this man who's murdered a lot of people is possibly going to get off?
I do have to wonder. I know this is... Let me be Kalen for a second. But what is the UN doing charging him with a crime? No. What crime are they charging him with? Unless it's like a war crime or something. Like, they don't have jurisdiction.
Wasn't he about to be a terrorist? Like, didn't he not do it?
It would have made more sense to go to The Hague
yeah.
or something like
yeah.
that.
I mean, he was about to be a terrorist.
Yeah.
It's a kid show. The executioner suits up. This person, Carl Denti, I think. Is this like comics?
Carl Denti.
Is this comics accurate? Is this like a new startup for a person? Okay, cool. We get a Magneto speech. He obviously makes Holocaust illusions. There, you know. We
the
don't
illusion
want
of don't, they're not illusions.
As opposed to in the comic.
This is me using a word that I don't think I know what it means.
In X-Men 92, where they're just like, we were in some war.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're
no,
right.
No, they go way into it, and especially when he goes, never again. That
yeah.
is very much
yeah.
a phrase of somebody who, you know, survived the Holocaust.
Yeah. There's an assault on the UN. Even the judges of the UN will be killed.
But what about us? We're normies.
To play by the rules and they still come for you. A lot of great lines
was,
again.
Oh, such a good line.
Yeah. Really strong writing. That's why I think the shows are so
that
great.
That was Magneto being bitchy for sure. Like,
yeah.
Oh, because even because you're trying me.
Why should we listen to you, Storm?
I do love when she says, do not think, be silent, heed my words, and you shall survive. She
amazing.
Just says, shut the fuck
Killer,
up.
Omega, Omega.
And you would listen to her.
Back at the mansion, he's here. Apocalypse, the baby. I
great
love that
comedic moment.
Joke.
Fantastic.
Laughed so hard. They head to the hospital. Tell Wolverine Gene made him a convertible. I love that weird reference. We get more cool Cyclops powers. Executioner's really fucking stacked. He just beats the shit out of Beast and Bishop.
He just bashes Cyclops.
Oh my god,
so much.
Yeah. It's very versus Captain Krakoa vibes. Like, he gets fucked up.
Yeah,
first time we see like major blood. There's a lot of good privilege and toxic masculinity conversations I had. You know, the idea of like, we had it hard, we just don't whine about it. I hate the whine. Like,
yeah.
Such a good embodiment of like a shitty person that exists in real life.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. Why, yeah, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Why can't you? Like, shut up, bitch.
Gross. I love the use of combined powers that came right
yeah.
after this, where
correct,
Magneto
yeah.
takes all the chairs and turns them into swords, and then Storm lights him up, baby.
Was it stupid? Yes.
Yeah.
But
well,
he's like God spears. Like, they're so tremendous.
Storm says, let's see how their mob manners fare against the shock of good conduct.
What's so funny that you line. Said, I didn't want to bother to hear what it really was, and I just heard in my head, shock of the cum dump, and I was like, what?
Shock of the cum dump? Yes.
Something I'm working on.
I do want to also highlight Morph. We get Colossus, Psylocke, Lady Deathstrike. Really cool action sequence. Back at
and that's the last you'll see of those characters.
Back at the hospital, I'll show you a C-section. Rogue learns how to deliver a baby.
That was great. Great.
Is that like really how her powers work?
Because I thought... Oh, sorry.
She can take the memories.
I wasn't...
I don't know if it's learned skills, but apparently it is now. So we just are going to make peace with
it. I loved it.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I love it because there is, it, for years, like, there were white doctors who just would not perform.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to say abortions.
Deliveries
the opposite.
Yeah. Interracial people deliveries, who are people of color. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But
no.
I thought she was able to, like, absorb more than just people's powers, like actual physical.
I think
supports.
Memories and abilities.
I'm down with it. I loved it. I was just sort of like, oh, executioner really does execute someone. It storms powers.
No.
She can't feel the weather anymore.
Well done. And it was like storm being, I mean, it was very overwrought as storm is. It's like, I can't feel the moisture. I can't feel the wind.
Yes.
But she sold it, like voice acting, the animation, all of it was very harrowing. I think what's interesting is in the comics, this happens from a weapon that Forge created. So I wonder if they're going to bring that full circle, since Forge is an X-Factor character.
Ooh,
in this continuity.
That's such a good point, Kaylin. Oh, my God.
But right. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you knew she wasn't dead after because she just kept going, I can't get.
She was shaking a lot.
And then
she,
I was like, just stop moving. Don't fall off the stage.
Don't climb off the stage.
Yeah, just stop. Going. Just sit still.
Then came my favorite moment of Magneto terror, that the exterminator is
executioner.
I
just agreed with you too.
I knew it was wrong, and I turned to the person who I thought it would be correct, and he agreed with me.
Yep, I know
that guy had just fucked up 8 other mutants, and Magneto stops him with one fucking piece of metal. Love it.
Iconic.
Love it so much.
Well, and my favorite line from Magneto Unleashed was, I'm trying to be better. Please do not make me let you down. Like, what a fucking
was so good.
Bitch.
Oh, girl. You didn't like the line, what must we do to be good enough? Is this the high road destination? As I have said too many times.
You want to do the whole monologue?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Really
such
good. Fantastic.
Is
the second episode was incredible.
Is this the high road's destination?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, great line, but also please do not let me let you down is fantastic.
So, like, just so perfect. We get back at the hospital. We've got Nathan Charles Summers. Wolverine's being a weirdo. All sorts of aftermath. Magneto's pardoned. Val Cooper's getting Genosha into the UN. Mags and Cyclops make up. Storm. How long, Beast? How long? Mark Twain said
it's
permanent.
Probably like soon or something. It's like
permanent. Just
Kafka says never. Yeah.
Again, just like, you know, good production.
And then the PTSD sound happens and she can't. Jean's like, I don't know something about Mirror Island.
The PTSD sound.
You know, when like a bomb goes off, you know.
Storm's letter, obviously very heartwarming and great.
Not
again,
cats.
But last chance, she always, everyone's reading fulfilled every fucking time. She's like, you get it, Jean, saying goodbye so many times before. She was basically like, you always die, bitch, so you know how this goes.
Because you die, there's probably like another dead one of you in front of the door right now. Yeah.
We get more Rogue Magneto love. Morph and Wolverine have a showmance. Gambit's pissed as fuck. Storm just gets on that road, like, just take a fucking plane somewhere.
The dialogue.
We all love bus driver.
The dialogue and the narrating of the show is so good.
It's excellent.
It actually does feel really like a comic of just like those word bubbles because it's so well done.
And especially it feels a lot like Grant Morrison when they would like put in like just Silver Age sounding dialogue, but like it's very memorable. Like, they invented to me my X-Men, actually. Or like, what makes you such a bitch, Emma? Breeding, darling, breeding. Like, the stuff that you remember, there's going to be stuff that we remember from these episodes.
Yeah,
hopefully
that
the
cat
rest of the series.
Stuff.
Yeah, all that cat's pajamas.
All that cats.
One thing we will remember is that there's two genes. Who didn't see this coming?
Oh, my.
Morph.
That's probably her right.
Yeah,
now.
We know Maddie was coming up, but we get left on a really great cliffhanger. Cannot wait for more. What about y'all?
We don't know which one's which.
Yes,
yeah.
Let's take votes
think
now.
The pregnant
who do we think?
One is Madeline.
Yeah, the one who just had
totally.
The baby is Madeline. Because
and the one who kept saying we should leave the X-Men.
Agree.
Kind of
yeah.
has to be, right? Because she's the one who had.
But she did
Cable.
Say, "Can yes. I speak to the X-Men?" She didn't say.
I need the X-Men.
Where's Scott? But so there's obviously some memory stuff
going
on.
I think it'd be
on.
Fun.
That's what's going to make it be like, oh, who could it possibly be? Even though she's still going to be like, let's just leave Cyclops. Forget about her.
And Maddie slash whatever the woman in the house is, she's like, we don't know you. Could you leave?
Yeah. I do think it'd be fun if they flipped the roles for the show.
She's Cyclops.
But that... Yes. But there was a line that they threw in where Jean is, the fake, possibly fake Jean, is looking at her Marvel Girl outfit and starts talking about how it's so crazy I was wearing this outfit on the blue side of the moon.
Haven't worn this old thing since the battle area of the blue.
I wonder if in the original series, that's when the flip happened, or the switch happened.
Ooh.
And so she's been Madeline.
That was the point I was just making.
No, okay, Caitlin's right. Great point.
Good point, Caitlin.
Hey, thank you. Oh, sorry, God. Brent.
I like that's both
it. We'll
of your
see
opinions.
You next week.
So I know it's not about character. They don't want to do multiple character designs, but
yeah.
I wish Storm hadn't changed her hair until this whole thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you go through this crazy thing.
That would have been a cool storytelling thing.
The connectivity didn't work for me.
I don't know. I think she wanted to have the haircut of her idol, Gambit.
Gambit's
hair was super anime.
They had
anime.
The exact same hair.
I love both of them. In the comics, I will say she did cut her hair before she lost her powers.
I don't care.
But maybe we'll, hey,
but that's because that's when they all died. I think that's about.
But maybe we're going to get new hair for her.
She had the mohawk look and like the punk look in like issue 170-175. Uh-huh. It was after Yukio and all that stuff. Lost her powers.
Well,
it was the adversary stuff where people thought she died. So
she was lezzing out and then she cut her hair.
Yeah.
She'll get a different haircut.
I hope every episode she has a new haircut.
She's going to have the weird child hair that she had when she became a child.
Yep. Oh, God. The little short haircut.
Little ringlets.
All right, let's move on.
Speaking of looks, it's Mutant Madness. Last year, she's got the look. This year, it's X-Men's wear. Yep, Mutant Madness is here, and we're really getting cooking. You can vote for your favorite looks for Cyclops, Bishop, Wolverine, and Angel via our Twitter. That's Homo Superior X. And Instagram, Homosphere Podcast. So we're in round two, which means we started with 64 looks, and now we're down to 32. Actually, we're down to 28 because over the last few days, we had Krakoa Cyclops beat out X-Factor 2.0 Cyclops, Revolution Cyclops beating out Astonishing Cyclops, and in the Sickening 16, the Krakoa look, the Cyclops of Krakoa and Utopia look, Revolution looks are going to be going up against each other. Who do you think should win and who do you think will win between the Krakoa look and the Revolution look?
All these looks are available on our Instagram, so you can check those out. I think Krakoa is going to go
the distance.
Yeah.
Krakoa is going to go.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a good fit.
This was the hardest choices for me.
They're both very good.
My top two were the Krakoa look and the X-Factor Volume 2 Version 2 look.
They're both fantastic.
I switched back and forth multiple times when we were doing our Dick Peach thing.
Yeah.
I think that the Revolution look should go all the way. I think that having the X as his
visor
is much more unique. It's more interesting than his. I think that the Krakoa look looks good, but in a way it is still kind of aping the line form that Revolution perfected.
Yeah.
Once I found these pictures, I was like, okay, I like the Revolution look more.
I think
sexy.
The Revolution look is so
also,
fucking well done.
Utilizes red. I didn't vote for it, but it's great. I love it.
I'm not sure if I voted for it either. But
all right, moving on to Bishop. So we had Red Bishop beat out last X-Man Bishop, and the second Hellfire Gala look that Bishop had beat out his Uncanny X-Men look. So between the Red Bishop and the Hellfire Gala look, which they'll be going up against each other in Sickening 16, who do you think should win? Who do you think will win?
I mean, there's no chance for that Hellfire Gala look, right? Like that.
Yeah.
I think that one is not.
Don't people like it online, though?
They like it online.
I enjoy it.
They kind of look the same.
Yeah, these are the most similar. I think it might win. Partially because of how bright the background is and just like more flashy. It's because I chose
it. It's good photography. Yeah.
I like the other one better. I like the color scheme in the other one much better, but I don't think it'll win.
You could be right. All right.
Also, people didn't like Marauders by this point.
No, this was early on in Marauders. But
this picture is the last issue.
Oh,
that
okay.
I chose.
Okay.
Or the third to last issue.
All right. So Wolverine, we had the brown and tan Wolverine look beating out Days of Future Past. And for Angel, Archangel beat out Age of Apocalypse Angel. Sorry, Brent, I know you were a fan.
This was much closer than I thought.
Same here. And as we're recording, we've got the Weapon X Wolverine look going up against the all new, all different. That's the classic blue and yellow look that Wolverine has. And X-Force Angel is going up against Revived Angel. All new, all different. Wolverine is in the lead, but it's still anyone's game. And same goes for X-Force Angel.
Sorry, I want to make something clear, because you made it sound like, oh, I love the Age of Apocalypse Angel look.
Yeah. You did.
I do not. I recognize how this works. Twitter votes, Instagram votes, we vote. And we're the tiebreaker in case there's a tie between the other two.
Yeah.
I don't want Archangel to win, and I will vote against him every chance time. I can. I don't
Chaos.
Like. I hate.
Wow.
I hate the Age of Apocalypse Angel, but I know that the Archangel is slightly, even if it's slightly better, I don't want it to win, and I'm going to try and make it lose.
Well, the way you have transformed from such a nice guy with blonde hair, turn into an evil apocalypse spawn.
That's blue in the face.
Yeah, that's blue in the face. Won't shut up about
it. It's Arch Brent.
So this picture of Age of Apocalypse Angel is the only one that has gold wings. All the other ones have white wings. And I was like, this looks cooler. I'm just going to pass this off. This was in a one shot that just kind of explained all the characters.
Yeah,
everything else was white. And I'm like, that's boring.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Those famous piss wings.
It's a great image. All right, so Mutant Madness is going to continue. Keep voting. Round two will go through until next week, and then we'll begin the Sickening 16, y'all.
So exciting.
Vote. Yeah.
Vote. Extra. You can't vote in this section. It's just the news.
So this is our weekly segment where we dish about the gossip, news, and rumors from the world of X-Men and MCU, and it's going to be extra because we're gay and annoying, so fuck you all. So I wrote all the rumors edition, and then I realized a lot of these aren't rumors. They're just actual facts. But I'll go So I will explain when things are facts and when they're not.
Great.
So last week, it got so much post-Krakoa stuff with the X-Men from the Ashes stuff with the three new teams, and there are also three other teams, three solo series. Well, there are further bits. Some are rumors, some are real. X-Factor is rumored to be written by the returning Tom Taylor. This is pending because they're working on contract.
Mm-hmm.
He was last seen in, with the X-Books on the Jean
Grey.
Where
was he last seen?
Is he missing? on the night of February 22nd.
He's on that milk carton right now.
Yeah.
Last seen in X-Books on the Jean Grey-led X-Men Red that you guys all liked, and I didn't like that much. And the Laura Wolverine solo book, which ended with just like the old woman Laura thing.
I like that storyline,
yeah. According to sources, Iceman will be the team leader, and then people were a little confused when they heard the rumors that it's either North Star or Shatter Star will be on the team.
A star.
A gay star.
Yeah, I think the person who got it from someone else was like, it was like a game of telephone.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Seemingly, Tom Taylor was the proposed choice to take over Uncanny X-Men before Gail Simone was chosen. Oh. I guess because of this contract thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, not this is really a rumor as much as this is going to happen. Jed McKay's Adjective X-Men and Eve Ewing's Exceptional X-Men are going to be closer than origin expected, including sharing a budding romance across team lines, which will quote unquote make headlines. So with characters Beast, Cyclops, Magneto, Idy, Magic, Quanon, Juggernaut, Quentin Quire on one side, and Kitty slash Cat slash whatever they're gonna name her now, and Emma are, and then some random ass kids are on the other. Who do you think will be the pairing? Right answers only right now, and then wrong answers later.
Magic and Kitty.
Yeah,
for the win.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
It's either that or they're going to do Cyclops M again. Those are the only two choices.
That's the only two choices.
Yeah. These are the only two options.
I think.
And then stupid answers now. Juggernaut and all those
and
kids.
Emma.
I don't think that's illegal.
Just taking that.
So that's a man who's like 50 years old.
What relationships has Quanon been in?
None that we know of.
She's no.
Well, Greycrow.
Greycrow. Goddamn.
Oh, that's
Greycrow.
Right.
Famously, Greycrow.
She fucked somebody in order to have that child that was in murder.
She doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
None of your business. Yeah.
All right. So Gail Simone says this is actually a real thing. It's not a rumor. This is not Uncanny's final lineup. Who do you see joining, and who do you want to join?
Who from 97 isn't currently?
Yeah, exactly.
A DH Sunspot.
I'm holding out hope for a Trinary. Has she been chosen yet?
I would love her to get picked up from.
I mean, I think the only one that I think has to be in there is Colossus.
Yeah, that's a good missing.
That's a good one. Yeah,
Throw Banshee in there for some reason. He's been having a
Sunfire
tough
too.
Couple
why
years.
Not?
I think Bishop will probably join that team as well.
Yeah, totally.
We need people of color on there. And I'd like for them to get out of the '90s mold for this team. Like it's too '90s.
Would you like Dust?
I would like Dust.
Or go super 90s and do like Extreme Adam or whatever.
Extreme Adam X, the Extreme. Yeah.
Throw right, Marrow
so
on there.
So Knicks slash, or they call it NYX. We don't know what they're going to be calling it. We'll reportedly be Kamala Khan's Ms. Marvel book for the first storyline written by Kamala Khan actress Iman Vellani.
Yes.
And we'll focus on Kamala helping struggling mutant teens and potentially featuring her entering college. This is a rumor thing. And it's rumored to be a rotating book. And the second storyline is going to be Laura Kinney's Wolverine.
Oh, very cool.
Probably doing the same thing.
So I'm very excited for this being a Ms. Marvel book. I think the fact that it's going to be rotating means that it's going to get canceled first. You cannot, it's anthology books just do not work. You have to have consistency. But also, like, the secondary X-Men titles don't ever last that long anyway. So, like, you know, 12 issues, I mean, 15 tops.
This is also named after a comic no one knows or cares about.
How dare
and the
you.
Only reason they're doing this name is because they need to keep the rights for the name.
Yeah, and also, when Laura was in NYX, that was one of her worst storylines where she, like, was basically, like, a sex worker. Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah.
So while Phoenix will be centered on Jean Grey, this is rumors, it is also going to feature other Phoenix users and will explore the Phoenix Force itself. And Phoenix
Yay.
Will be the centerpiece of From the Ashes.
That's great.
And will lead to the first event crossover between the three lead series.
Phoenix, okay. I hope Phoenix number four is
Yeah, as per reports, Jean will remain heroic and not a heel turn or
Yay.
Go dark.
Ten Phoenixes.
So Uncanny is going to be based in Chicago, in New Orleans. Adjective List is in Alaska. Exceptional is in Chicago, so will this be based in Phoenix, Arizona?
Utah.
No, they at the end of it.
They're going
go
to the epicenter. It's just in fucking Kansas.
As in Kansas.
The real treasure was the Phoenix we made along the way.
Yeah.
So
it's in Tucson, actually.
Storm will be Aurora running for Congress.
Aurora running.
I died partway through that word. To give mutants a voice after the dissolvement of Krakoa, and they want to find a woman of color writer.
So the rumor is Stephanie Williams is who they want.
Nice.
Would love.
Friend of Pod, Stephanie.
Amazing.
So reportedly, based on what we think we know beforehand, Saladin Ahmed will be the writer and Greg Capullo will be artist and Wolverine, with Wolverine going up against a newly emerged S.H.I.E.L.D. with Nick Fury joining the supporting cast for his story. What do you think about that?
It sounds very enemy of the state. One of
yeah,
the
they
few
do.
Mark
they do say that, and I just didn't write it.
I liked. It's the one few Mark Miller stories I really liked.
Where he murdered North Star.
Could use more Phoenix.
Not great part of that, but it was a good fun story.
So as Deadpool and Wolverine is coming out of the same time as From the Ashes, X-Force will be full of brand synergy, including Deadpool possibly being the leader of the team for X-Force, and will include an undisclosed Wolverine family member amongst other team members. Which Wolverine family member do you think it's going to be? And it's going to be
his aunt.
Fang slash
Akihiro.
His aunt. It has to be, right?
Yeah.
His aunt. Jessica.
Because he's been out of the game on that team anyway.
Well, he's been murdered.
I don't like fangs.
Auntie Logina.
Oh, what if it's Jonathan the Wolverine? That'd be cute.
It's not going to be.
No,
I like
so
that.
We're leaving the comics now. We're going into MCU stuff. The main villain for the X-Men series.
Let me step through the door if you're going to
No. It's smashing it. I don't have time for this. The main villain for the X-Men series is heavily rumored to be Mr. Sinister. Are you excited?
Yes.
This
yes.
is the right choice.
Sign me the fuck up.
Absolutely.
I saw the intro.
Make it Tom Zwam's game.
There's no clue.
The guy from Succession.
Oh, God. So after...
Shiv, the mutants are attacking.
That would be nice. After X-Men 97 and Deadpool and Wolverine, Disney is now able to use Fox characters more liberally. Reportedly, Storm will appear in What If Season 3, taking up the power of Mjolnir,
fun.
Like in the comics, and finally filming in August, unless the film crews all strike their guild.
Yeah.
Franklin will be appearing in Fantastic Four.
That's great.
So what do you think about those two things?
Get them all in. Get every
Shove
fantastic
a mutant
member
into.
You can.
I want Valeria too.
You need to start building up mutants like individually so that when they do come together, it makes a lot more sense and hopefully a lot less exposition.
I'm not reading the Fantastic Four comic right now, but I've heard that Ryan Noth, who's writing it, is trying to make Franklin a mutant again.
Yes.
No, based on the issue that they just released, that's not what they want to do.
Oh, they don't?
They actually, his situation is they think he doesn't have powers, but on one day every year, he uses his powers to like fucking fix everything and make sure that the next year is going to be good.
Oh, that's clever. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Sounds
and
like
only,
a
he knows, only he knows
reverse
that's the
Groundhog's Day.
We made a medication to cause someone to never become a mutant again.
All right. So with the premiere of X-Men 97, Brad Winterbaum, who is the Marvel Studios head of streaming television and animation, has had a lot to say this week, saying Marvel is now operating more like a traditional studio, producing more than they will end up releasing, and not just handing out full seasons willy-nilly like they were doing for the last 4 or 5 years. Nova is still in development, and seemingly once they create a pilot, they'll decide whether they're going to move forward. Mm-hmm. But then Ryan Gosling is, you know, one of the ones they think he's going to end up being Nova, possibly.
Oh, right.
So
that's cool.
There's no way they're going to not do that if he's there.
I saw also other rumors of him being Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
He's also stated that Ironheart and Wonder Man are going and are currently in the editing stage, but then they're going to do more filming, you know, how they always
do. Of course,
So when asked
reshoots.
When asked if he will get a new Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, he should have said, fuck no, that shit's stupid. But instead he said, you never know is the answer. And
thank God he did. Oh, thank God.
I know you two like that piece of shit.
I love that shit.
That totally went off field. It doesn't actually connect with the MCU at all anymore.
I like the alternate universe version of him. Fuck no, that shit's stupid.
You know what? If I was there, that's my alternate version. And because I can't go a week without mentioning the series, the upcoming What If spinoff series, Marvel Zombies, will be TVMA as it should be.
Spoopy. Sexy. Yeah. So they're going to have sex in that. That's crazy.
Just like bloody murder sex.
They're going to let that cat out of the bag.
It's actually it's going to have Octavia Spencer in it because it's TV Ma.
Oh, my God. God.
All right. Let's get on to the issues, our weekly recap of all things X Comics, as well as we're picking up all things in the new Ultimate Universe. This week we have X-Men Forever number 1, Resurrection of Magneto number 3, The Invincible Iron Man number 16, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver number 2, and X-Men Infinity Unlimited number 131. Now, we love to talk about 97, and we're running tight on this time, girl, so we're going to do a Hated It or Hotted It Lightning Edition for today. So X-Men Forever, Hated It or Hotted It. Kalen, starting with you.
Hotted It. I think it was great.
Perfect.
Hotted it, but
ideas?
I think it should have come out before both Fall and Rise.
I agree with that too.
I'll start reading the actual thing. The mystery of Xavier's Task Force X to defeat Enigma outside of space and time is revealed. Ryan, to you. Did you hate
my
it or
X-Men?
Hotted it.
I loved it. I thought it was a great issue.
Surely it's got to be a hotted it. I mean, the problem is you want to have really interesting stories where you have all this fun stuff happened. You learn about what that was caused by. And when you have so much chaos, having this issue so late just feels weird.
Yeah.
But I bet rereading it's going to be
great. It's going to be great.
It ties a lot of stuff together. Yeah. Speaking of tied together, I like that Celine likes tighter outfits. And also, I love the call out of Shaw acknowledging that he's a piece of shit in it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm here for the money.
I'm a piece of shit.
Great character work, great writing. Kieran Gillen, we're going to miss you.
This is R.I.P. basically Immortal number 19.
R.I.P.
And they fire him out of a cannon now. Yeah. Is that correct?
Resurrection of Magneto number 3, writer Al Ewing, artist Luciano Vecchio. The resurrection continues with Magneto and Storm in the clutches of confronting their worst truths thanks to Shadow King.
Hey, audited it. I kind of hated it. I really do feel binary, but it's like you get really abstract and it's either really annoying or really insightful, and half of it was insightful and half of it was fucking annoying.
Yeah. I think it was great. I loved it all the way through.
Hotted it less than.
What does that mean?
Hotted it
forever.
Oh, okay.
Hotted it more than.
More than.
Some of the speech is did get a little bit like, okay, we get it. But it was still really well done.
I don't like Shadow King. I just don't like the concept, don't like the character.
Yeah, love to see all of the Scarlet Witch family go through a redemption process and actually reflect on choices in the past.
Yeah, no, I did. I had it as well. I enjoyed the conversation, but all my notes for the recap were just Shadow King Charles versus Magneto. Magneto versus Shadow King. Magneto versus himself. Storm versus Shadow King. It was just like, all right, how many of these conversations?
Yeah. The splash page panel that had all those folks like Annihilation and Shadow King, they had a lot of other characters, like some deep cuts. The adversary, which is the being that, quote unquote, killed the X-Men when everybody thought they were dead, like when they went to the Outback. as well as something from Mutant X, which is super, super deep cut.
It's a good, like, lore. I could Zoroaster feel the heaviness from the issue.
I like the fact that Storm should have been like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's a redemption arc for Magneto, which is fun. And then also Storm for some reason.
I just wish this wasn't a four-issue miniseries because it's wrapping up so much of Al Ewing's stuff from, like, X-Men Red, from...
The Defenders.
The Defenders, exactly. It's just like, it's. I need more.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, number two. You got writer Steve Orlando, artist Lorenzo Tometa. Wanda continues to face off against the Wizard while Pietro tries to get back to Earth, while both reconnect with allies and family, and the Wizard gets face-to-face with Wanda and Pietro's new big bad. Hated it or hated it?
Hated it, Scarlet Witch. Hated it, a Quicksilver storyline.
Wow.
Oh.
Controversial.
Okay. Yeah.
The other, I just don't care about a new character. I mean, not new character. I just, the Wizard's whatever. And I just like the Quicksilver and Speed thing. You never see them interact, but they're kind of the same asshole person.
I think it's great. They're that fantastic.
Well, we get to see them interact. Isn't that good?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why I hated it.
Oh, hey. Okay. Well, I hated it in your opinion, but I hated it in this issue.
Yeah. And I like the Wizard. I also liked his, like, the Frightful 400. What a stupid concept.
It's all a
it's
very
great.
Fun gimmick to me. It's a hated it for me.
Hated it, but I always keep thinking the Wizard is Mentallo.
I had that same problem.
I can see you thinking that. Yeah, the same color scheme. Yeah.
All right. The Invincible Iron Man number 16, writer Jerry Duggan, artist Kreese Lee. It's Sentinel Buster versus Sentinels. That's it.
There's not a lot that happened.
Hated it.
Can you hate it in something that didn't happen?
You at a beach picnic trying to swat away mosquitoes with someone yelling over you in the background.
It's quite the metaphor you've got going on.
They didn't need to. I hated it. They didn't need to. They needed to animate Sunspot leaving the mansion, and they didn't need this issue of this comic.
100%.
Here's my biggest problem.
Marvel's not getting it right yet.
Besides the actual story. When Marvel does, like, these big, or even DC, they do these big, like, every page is a splash page. You got to have an artist that can fucking bring it. Kreese Lee is a fine artist. I'm sure they're a lovely person. They don't have the quality or caliber to pull something off like this. I was like, this is nuts. I paid $4 for this, and it's like,
that is
I read it
thing.
In 3 seconds.
I did
it
hot
so
the...
I think I skipped through a lot. Skimmed through a lot
there
of
was
it.
Nothing to
really
skim.
Care.
You just kind of flipped
so what,
through
you
the
just
images.
Closed
yeah.
your
and
eyes
like, yeah, and then they're like, oh, look, he's destroying a lot. And then he's like, oh, no, there's a shit ton more. And
like, I did
as if none of this fucking matters.
I did like the Fei Long, Tony Stark dick measuring contest. They're like kind of back and forth has always been enjoyable.
Who do you think has a bigger dick?
Tony.
I don't know, but I want them both in
Which one's going
I'm
in your mouth and which one's going
Fei
in your
Long.
Ass?
Okay.
Or, oh, that's
or
the better
are they
question.
Both going in your ass?
Well, Fei Long's a war machine, so.
I think the Sentinel of Buster is going all the way through me.
I think Tony's dick is smaller, but I bet he knows how to use it better than Fei Long.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Fei Long always says, are you done yet?
He calls it the Mark 69.
You got X-Men Unlimited Infinity comic, number 131. You got the Steves, Fox, and Orlando, as well as artist Philip Seve. The Eternals ascension continues with a multiple man dupe infiltrating Selene's inner sanctum with horrifying repercussions for the mutant resistance.
Hotted it. I just need all this to come out more. I need it more. I need it I more know. Altogether.
Should be a fuller issue.
Hotted
yeah.
it because this should be just a normal issue yeah. like that we got and not pay $5 for the Iron Man one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a hotted it, but also I think it's the weakest issue of this story.
I'm just wondering where the external stuff is going to fit in with the Orca stuff. Like, they haven't really properly...
Especially since we saw Selene in a different comic.
It's correct. Literally going to be her showing up later to go, well, my ascension failed. It didn't work. Like, check out Infinity.
Editor's note.
That's the issues, babe.
As always, we like to wrap up with a little something we call Plug Me Daddy, where each of us get a chance to quickly highlight something we've read, seen, heard, and wanted to share with you, our little homos. And we're going quick today, so I didn't even have time to squeak my quickly. So let's just say what you got. And Brent, why don't we start with you?
On Netflix, there's a docuseries called The Program. It's about a cult.
Love it.
That kind of like teen,
you know, the
rowdy teen, like they kidnap your kid and then they brainwash them into being good people.
Wild.
It's insane. It's just
only
absolutely insane.
Available
somehow still illegal.
On Netflix.
It's only available on Netflix. Yeah. The Program.
Speaking of kid documentaries, I watched Quiet on the Set, which was a documentary about Nickelodeon and how
comedy.
Fucked up that. And boy, did I laugh. If you want to ruin your childhood and the stuff that you like. But I still like Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Anyway, next.
It makes me uncomfortable that so many of the characters, not so many, but like two of the men, male character people we see in that are also kind of creepos.
Yeah.
Agreed. Real quick, I think it was an Amanda Bynes documentary that turned into this. Anyway, continue. Clark, what's your plug for the week?
So mine is something called X-Men 97. No, mine is Tom King's new miniseries, Helen of Windhorn.
Ooh. Oh, it's supposed to be great.
It's fantastic. It's about a drunk 16-year-old whose father dies, and he's a writer. Hilarious. And her grandfather's like rich as fuck and has a house that's like 173 rooms. And they've been like, she and her father have been just like, hanging out in trains all the time, and she goes to this mansion, and then there's some crazy monster shit. It's fantastic. That's nice. So good. It's so good.
Who produces what?
Star Quest, right?
Yes.
Great.
It's so good. There's only one issue so far, so it's easy to just hop into.
If nice. Thanks. If the words ogre battle ring any bells to you from a childhood fantasy perspective, mm-hmm. buy Unicorn Overlord. I mean, everyone's taking their head. No,
I'm ogre battle is my
someone's
sex life.
Listening to this. Someone's listening to this podcast. So Unicorn Overlord is a new game. Came out for like Switch, PS5, Steam Deck, whatever. Absolutely fantastic. It is a strategy RPG. So much to do. So much great combat. Beautiful artwork because it's made by Vanillaware. Pick this game up immediately if you love strategy RPGs.
Kaylin, take us out.
So last week I mentioned Dune Part 2. This week I'm mentioning it's on Max right now. It's Jodorowsky's Dune, which is a documentary that came out about 10 years ago. So Alejandro Jodorowsky, who is a filmmaker, very cult filmmaker, wrote a lot of comics, tried to adapt Dune in the mid-1970s, wasn't able to it. And it's Dune. Wild. It's a really good documentary, but it's wild as he never read the book. somebody explained it to
Weiss,
him.
D.B. Weiss, Benioff.
That's happened so many times.
And he's just like all he wants is like to simulate like an acid trip, and so he wanted to make the movie like that.
He's like, is this a worm? And it's just like a snake.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Like, I don't know. I don't read.
But it's Paul Atreides' son.
It is. I love like consuming projects about projects that never happened, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's like what could have been.
Yeah. And I like
it's
children
really cool.
documentaries. Anyway, Brent, take us out.
Well, guys, we did it.
Ugh.
And
I'm
by
exhausted.
By guys, I mean listeners. You guys made it through this whole episode. I'm proud of you. We're proud of you. We'll be reviewing X-Men 97.
Yeah, mama.
Every goddamn week an episode comes out. So just buckle up, buckaroos, because we're coming in hard. Plus, we've got things outside of our regular episodes. We got Pride of the X-Men.
Yeah.
We've got an interview with Jordan D. White.
We sure do.
As Adam... No.
Jordan D. White.
Thank you. You know what? I realized I was throwing you in under the bus by doing it, but he is our Kermit the Frog. So that's been our episode. Check us out on Twitter to review you know, all the favorite costumes that are out there in our mutant madness. We're there at Homo Superior X. You can also do it on Instagram at Homo Superior Podcast. This has been a very special moment for us in time. Mm.
Oh,
I guess it's right.
The 90s
moment,
are
but,
back. It feels so good.
But I feel like we were really running fast toward the end, and I just wanted to take a
Let's
second
slow down.
To
breathe.
Take a breath.
Like when you really ramp up like
that. We are all so done. We are very done. It's Homo Superior.